I'm in conversation with Danielle Bonner, Donegal Project Coordinator at Women's Collective Ireland in Donegal, and Martina Gillespie, prosthesis fitter at McElhenney's Ballybuffet, because on Thursday the 30th of October there's a free bra fitting event taking place for those who've had breast cancer and those who have undergone mastectomy surgery. It's in the new lingerie room in McElhenney's store in Ballybuffet. It runs from 6:30 until 8 p.m. and the McElhenney service of course focuses on confidentiality. There's a private fitting room, as you would imagine, trained bra and breast form fitters, and you're invited to avail of a beautiful selection of mastectomy bras, prosthesis and mastectomy swimwear. So this event at the end of October, is it part of what we've been speaking about up until now, Danielle, Martina, or is this an additional service?
No, it's what we've been talking about, you know, and to bring awareness. So it's just a follow on, really, and make people more confident. So that's...
We've had a few calls about qualifying for bras or swimsuits and prosthesis, for that matter. So could you just run through what people can avail of and who can avail of it?
Yes, I will. So we cover all of Ireland, as I said, excluding Northern Ireland. So... anybody who has a medical card or non-medical card holders can now avail of the service. You will need the form, which you will get from us, and then you get that completed and signed by the doctor. There's no means tested. It's just you fill out your form, you bring it into us, and then we do the whole process. So you don't have to even worry about that side. You just come in and get your items that you need. So that's really the service.
Okay, and in terms of the prosthesis, is that one to cover the 2 years? And is there any advice in, you know, an item being having close skin contact for a particular amount of time or what have you?
Yeah. So we so what you would get with that with your form when you come in, so you're entitled to two bras every year, mm-hmm. plus one swimsuit every year. If you're wearing a mastectomy, you would a prosthesis. If you need a mastectomy, if you need a prosthesis, then you get the prosthesis every second year. Mm. If you have a double mastectomy, you get that every second year as well.
Okay, and it might be open to people if they believe they need more than one.
Yes,
but the state provides for one.
Yes,
isn't that correct?
Yes,
okay.
That's right.
And just to focus again on the experience, you know, the expertise that you have, the understanding that you have. You take the women by the hand through this process as much as they want.
That's right, from the start to the finish, as long as they need us.
Okay, brilliant stuff. And Danielle, of course, just the wider conversation again, you know, we might have all the information, but we have to act on it as well too.
Yeah.
And I think what you said, you know, and this applies to lads as well, by the way, in different areas.
10% of men of donated are men.
Yeah, exactly. So know your body. You know, you're in the shower hopefully once or twice a week at least.
And even if you have young, like, daughters as well, I think if we plant that seed around just checking ourselves, you know, having that baseline, and then you know if something's changed.
And the majority of, and this is the truth, the majority of these things can be benign
at the same time, a couple of months after myself, my sister, there was an issue with my sister, and she was like, oh god, not again, sort of thing. And it was actually, I can't remember the name, but it's like the fibery things, and it was hormonal as well. And like, quite often it can be there's those, you know, but like, you know, so if you obviously, if you're under 50 and you spot something, please go to your doctors, because they will check you and then they'll potentially refer you to the clinic. Please also avail, like, in Donegal Town, we now have the breast check bus. I know it wasn't Letterkenny, but I live in Donegal Town now, so that's where I know. Yeah. And they're giving a push for women to go.
Well, it's reliant, the ever presence of services like this are reliant on people using them and going to your appointments.
I think it wasn't there
stuff.
For a good while, and they really fought to get it back in Donegal Town. So it's at the public service building, and you can literally go on to the breast check and put in, if you're 50, put in your details, and you can get an appointment that way. So you don't even have to speak to anybody. It can be all done online, you know, and you just turn up for those.
And also, too, such is the nature of cancers, if you go and everything's good, that doesn't mean you don't keep checking yourself, because you never, ever know. You always sort of, I think, have to advocate for yourself and trust yourself and know your body as well. Remind us one more time then, Martina, about this event at the end of October.
Yeah, so, everyone's welcome to come along. obviously there'll be information, there'll be fittings. So it's nice to, and you get a bit more confident when you see the lingerie department, see where it is, and meet us as well, meet the fitters.
It's a new apartment, it's massive now.
Yes, it is.
It's really lovely.
It's lovely.
And just, yeah, I go in, see it, have a cup of tea, coffee, meet the ladies, and put your mind at ease.
And I think it's 100%. Just, and it's important too that we're lucky that this is here, you know, because I know you service the whole of the 26 counties of Stutch, and that's based on the fact that this is a scheme that is separate to what might be there in Northern Ireland. But I think to have not just the business that will do it, but actually the empathy and the understanding of
exactly.
That it's this is not a clinical, you know what I'm on about,
yeah,
that
it's
it
not,
is
yeah.
it's you're treated like a real person. That's an important
and you
part.
Get as I have to say, the bras aren't horrible bras either. They're actually nice. They got a
I was trying
pattern.
To hint at that little earlier.
I know.
But no one took me up on
they
it.
They are lovely, and it's important for like any lady, but especially if you've had breast cancer, like those thick bras and the difference it feels like, you literally feel the difference, and they're nicely patterned. So they're not horrible bras. And I have to say, I saw the receipt that I had last year and this year, and they are expensive bras as well. So ladies, take the treat while you can as well.
Yeah, it's an important service. It's, as I said, we need to all avail of it. That's the whole idea, you know. You don't always get that kind of service.
No, you don't. Yeah, but this is about awareness of making people know that it's there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, okay. And we will have reached people today that are going okay.
So.
One other thing, sorry. If someone is late to this information, is there a cut-off time post-surgery or post-treatment that they can avail of this, I wonder? Or is that too specific a question? Do you know what I mean? So say someone wasn't aware of this situation, I had a mastectomy last year? Or?
No, absolutely not. Okay. Whenever they want to come in, it doesn't matter if it's, as long as they know, if they find out about the service and are happy, just come on through and we'll give them all the information.
Okay. And the forms are there, by the way. So they help you with the form, so you know what to go to your GP, and the GP knows anyway. But again, I'm just trying to make sure that people don't stick up the little barriers that we tend to do on ourselves. That's what I'm trying to make sure that those barriers aren't there. Danielle, always lovely to have you on. It's Bonner, isn't it?
Yes,
keep calling you Bonner, but it's Bonner. You see, I know that. Danielle Bonner.
I've done loads. It's Bonner.
All right, okay. Martina Gillespie. I can't get that wrong.
Yeah. Thanks.
Listen, thanks very much indeed. And if anyone wants to contact in advance, you can call McElhenney's email as well too, just to, if you have any questions or fears that need allaying, why might they, about the service generally or about this event on the 30th of October. Martina,
probably better if they call us, you know, they're probably more comfortable with.
All right, 9131217.
Yeah.
All right, take care of yourselves. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Farming, well, it's more than just a job, of course. It's a demanding way of life that comes with unique stresses, from unpredictable weather and market pressures to long hours and isolation. And those are the good things. While we're dedicated to nurturing the land and the livestock, it's just as crucial to nurture your own mental health. This Wellness Wednesday, we're focusing on the resilience of our farm community and starting a conversation about taking care of the most valuable resource you have, and that is, of course, yourself. Paul McDade's a project officer with Donegal Local Development and also a lifelong farmer. Good morning to you.
Morning, Greg.
How are you getting on?
Good, Greg. It's
good to have you with us. Kira Ray is Resource Officer for Suicide Prevention, Donegal Mental Health Services, HSC West Northwest. Thanks so much for calling in. I'll start with you, Paul, if you like. It's a tough job, isn't it? Oh, no matter how resilient you are, sometimes things can just build up on you, can't they?
Oh, no doubt about it, Greg. I suppose, like, as a farmer myself, I do, you know, can relate to a lot of this stuff that we're hearing back. A few studies done nationally, UCD, DCU, and it's coming back that the findings are that depression levels is high with farmers, some suicide ideations there, you know, higher than it like, maybe one in five farmers studied. So looking at that, I suppose the farming, you've got lots of pressures. You've got financial pressures, you've got the weather, maybe crops failing or not yielding properly and stuff like that. And we see that right throughout. And like, we've been talking to mart managers and stuff leading into this, you know, for feedback on, you know, how to structure our event and stuff. And a lot of positive feedback, like, because they're seeing a lot of this on the ground, dealing with farmers week in, week out. And they feel it's timely. You know, it's an intervention now where, you know, it's a new approach, I suppose. That's what we're
because physical farm safety obviously is critical, and we spend a lot of time talking about that, and the IFA and other farming organisations are very much committed to that. But Paul, before I go to Kira, I do wonder too if the problem is exacerbated by how much can be outside of your control. I don't think we're good at losing control. Do you know what I mean? We kind of want to be able to keep our ducks in a row as best as possible.
Oh, yeah.
In this job, I kind of can, but there's so many factors in farming that are somewhat outside of your control.
There's a lot out of your control. You know, I suppose weather, farm prices fluctuate up and down. When you invest in animals, stock, crops, planting crops and stuff, you're taking a chance. Like, it's a gamble on whether or not you're going to be profitable at the end. And also working solo an awful lot. So it's different. We come to work and stuff. We meet others. We work together as a team. Kira's got a team, I've got a team, and things go wrong, everyone is in it. Things go right, everyone's in it, fair enough. But farmers are very much on their own with the stresses of that. And it can build, like it could, it's only natural that it builds, and not enough people maybe to talk to. Farmers are good at talking to each other about farming and the weather and, you know, anything topical, but not so good at talking about themselves, how they feel.
And I've also too, you know, and I've experienced this quite regularly in this industry as well, uncertainty about your future, right? Whether it's by your decision or not your decision. And there's very few farmers could confidently, I think, do a 5 or 10 year plan out, certainly of a certain size.
No, I think you're right there.
You know,
I think even when banks, I know someone works on the agri bank lending thing, and when they look at farming, they don't take, you know, the good years for granted, that there's going to be more of them. It is very up and down. Farmers, that's what they're, you know, they're dealing with, that unpredictability of it all. And that all, you know, feeds into, you know, I suppose the bit of isolation there. Lately, I suppose there's a lot of direction from government in Europe and stuff around environmental issues too. All that seems to be, you know, it's feeding in a little bit too, I think, on some of those studies that did come back, that they said that was a bearing on their mental health at this point.
And I also saw recent figures that were quite alarming to me in terms of drug dependency in the farming community. Yeah. Not necessarily something you might, and it kind of brushed over, but I was really quite startled by it. Kira Ray, as I say, Resource Officer for Suicide Prevention, Donegal Mental Health Services, HSC West Northwest. An event like this, which is taking place on Sunday, by the way, between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. in the Clannery, is a great way to hopefully encourage people to get along there and get them in front of you and aware of the services, or even just blooming talking. Like,
no, absolutely, Greg. And just in terms of Connecting for Life, this festival, the Harvest of Hope Festival, which is specifically for Donegal farmers, and it's about us reaching in to our farming community here in Donegal, because obviously, like, the economy and culture is very, you know, farming is very much central to that. So if we can protect our farmers' mental health, we can protect our rural communities. And I know that Paul has brought up a few issues there that farmers are facing on a daily basis, which can lead to an increase in their drug and alcohol use, the isolation, the long hours of work, the fact that then they don't get to spend as much time connecting with family, that can really lead to relationship problems. And then it can also impact their health because of the heavy work they're doing. So we also know, as Paul said, because of farming as an occupation, and because of the nature of it, there's that ultra independence, that self-reliance, that it's nearly counterintuitive for farmers to reach out for support.
Which is why we have to really emphasise the importance of getting along to this, right? Because that's probably, that first step is one of the most challenging first steps we have to convince people to take.
Yeah, because the stigma is still very much present. You know, and stigma creates shame, it creates fear, it makes it difficult for people to reach out and ask for help. So partly events like this are extremely important to create a more compassionate and caring community in our farming community where people, if they need, they do feel safe enough to reach out and get the help that they need. Like, we do know that farmers, because of their occupation, are 20% more likely to develop problems with stress, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts. So, and we also know that farmers, because of the nature of their work and because they're quite isolated, aren't aware of services that are out there.
No, they're trying to deal with that on their own, which is it's a cyclical and it just gets worse.
Yeah,
right?
And they're not aware of these services. So it's really important that we have events like this where we get to connect farm families with the vital supports that they need that could save their lives.
Can I also frame it in a way whereby it's a Harvest of Hope Wellness Festival? Yes. So anyone turning up is not putting their hand up and saying that this is me, right? Because I think sometimes we carry stress or believe that's a norm, or anxiety, or we don't speak because we think it's a norm or we want to protect others. So this is not some sort of admittance of weakness, and it never should be, right? But I'm trying to reach everyone in this conversation, right? So this is something to get along to and see what lands with you, right? It doesn't mean you're... You know,
it's about supporting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the farming community. It's about a show of strength in the farming community, is the way I would look at it. And farmers are coming out, even if you look at social media during the summer and right up to this weekend, different tractor runs, different things. But these events are all being organised to raise money for maybe a charity, maybe a sick child. Farmers are, you know, the first to show up and give their time, take the time and support others. And this event's about supporting each other, supporting themselves. We know there's people in the farming community that need supports, be it mental health and even physical wellness and maybe checkups and stuff, and there will be health checks on the day. But this is about encouraging each other. You know, we need to come out in a big way, and people that sort of would need to be in the room will be in the room then, you know, when they have the support of their neighbours and friends.
The event is quite unique, Greg, because it really is focused around a celebration of the farming community culture.
Exactly.
So the focus is very much on coming out, having fun, safe environment, social environment. We will have a couple of speakers that will talk a little bit about, you know, resilience and how to cope with the unique stressors that face the farming community specifically. But the focus is on a celebration. We'll be having a lot of music.
Can I run through what's on so people get that? It's a really good point that you make there. So it's a relaxed, welcoming atmosphere, free goodie bags for the first 200 attendees, free food and refreshments, a tractor showcase so you can bring along your own tractor for a chance to win prizes, Donkey 262 social media influencer, who's very popular, of course. Guest speakers, including Frank Hines. Over 20 local organisations providing free advice on stress management, health checks and financial well-beings that you heard referenced there. Well-being zones offering health checks and reflexology taster sessions. Live music from Jason McCahill and the Ryan Turner Band, plus a jiving competition with Alana O'Leary and partner. And then there's children entertainment, including face painting, stilt walkers, clowns and a petting zoo. So this speaks to what you've just been outlining here. Yes, this is about well-being. Yes, this is about checking in on yourself. Yes, it's about resilience. Yes, it's about networking and meeting other people, but it's about having fun. And we learn best, I think, sometimes when we don't realise we're learning. I do anyway, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's about bringing the services to the farming community in an environment where they feel safe and comfortable. You know, because there is still a lot of stigma out there, you know, and I think it is, and that stigma, it is about reducing that stigma within the farming community. And also because people won't feel safe enough to ask for support if they feel shame around it. So events like this help break that down, and that's why it's a green ribbon event also.
Yeah.
But the other side of it is, Greg, a lot of people, like you said, don't realise when they're stuck suffering with stress and anxiety.
They just think this is it. Every farmer is up to high dough, can only sleep 3 hours a night.
There was a survey to show that one in four farmers burn out, and half of all farmers will experience sleep problems. So we don't have health unless we have mental health, Greg. You know, we all have mental health. mental health is just part, it goes part and parcel with our physical health. So if we improve one, it affects the other.
And also too, a lot of the stuff we're talking about, and listen, I'm not saying anything's a silver bullet as such, but you know, if you are feeling anxious, speaking about it or talking to other people that feel the same, it's unbelievable the weight it can lift off your shoulders. Isolation, if you feel there's people that you can chat to that get you, you know, that in itself can almost have an instant impact in it, isn't it? You know, suffering from anxiety and recognising
and
that
these
are manageable and the stuff that people can really see differences in themselves.
Yeah, and if we speak about it, I suppose there'll be more people. You think you're the only one when you're going through
something
like that. And it's, you're so much on your own head at that stage as it gets worse for you. And you'll find if you speak out about it, others are feeling the same, you know, because others have the same pressures as you, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're the small farmer, the large farmer, all these different pressures are affecting you the same way. Like, you know, at the end of the day, sort of when you go home, it's hard to, and I think a big one now, finding time, the work-family balance is a big one.
I'm not a fantastic example, but I think there's lots of people that are very good at going home and switching off and saying, right, okay, that's work done, family life. You live on your work. Are you working from home or you're living at work, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So yes. Farming kind of, not exclusively,
just
but very much can
no
be like that.
No getting away from it, really. Yeah. You know, sort of, and now, you know, times have changed.
Now, it's a fantastic excuse to get out of that wedding, the christening, the communion that you don't want to go to.
Is,
especially if they come at springtime. So there is some advantage.
You've always got an excuse like to get out of things, but it's the things you want to get to then. That's holding you back sometimes too. But getting that balance right. And times have changed now, where back in the day it was sort of more acceptable farmers just to be farming away, maybe not giving the time into the house and to the home and taking kids places. But now, you know, younger generation of farmers out there, there's, you know, coming along, and lady farmers too, women farmers and all, there has to be time made for the farming or for the family. And they're making, you know, that's a stress in itself too, juggling those things, like, you
and
know,
the paperwork and every other blooming
you've
thing.
Got, you've got kids going
right,
to
so it's on Sunday.
Yes.
It runs from 1 to 5 p.m. It's a Clanry Hotel, which means there's loads of parking and loads of internal space. The organisers want families, farmers, neighbours and friends to come along. It's free. You don't have to book. If you're one of the first 200, you get a goodie bag. There's live music, there's jiving, and then there's areas that you can go in and check in on yourself. So it's a short shop, 4 hours. And you know what? I think the challenge for a lot of farmers actually to say, stop making excuses. You can free up the 4 hours for Sunday.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be the first. Maybe that could be the first step. You
we're
know,
we're delivering it at a good time in the farming calendar too, Greg. You know, so things have eased off a bit.
Yeah, it's been a good summer of weather, and there's been a lot of work done, and farmers would have, you know, are happy coming out of that side of it that they've had a good time in terms of getting things done. So it's time to take a bit of time to themselves now and their families, and bring the kids and just enjoy the day wandering around the Clanry outside. We'll have the tractor on, and inside, like, some fantastic music and whatnot there, and something for everyone and exhibitors. Okay. So
Ciara, obviously we're talking about this in the context of this 4 hours on this particular day, okay? But there are helps and services there always available, and sometimes it could just be a conversation that somebody needs. So,
absolutely.
You know, maybe you can't get to Letterkenny, or this type of an event isn't for you. But if you recognise yourself in some of what we've been talking about, how do people access support?
Yeah, well, I suppose there's the PIETA number, which is 1-800-247-247, and the Samaritans are available at 116-123. If somebody is in a mental health crisis and they need to be seen straight away, we always recommend they go straight to ED, ring 999 or 122. And if somebody is, I suppose, in mental distress but not crisis, your first port of call will always be your GP.
Mm-hmm.
And the GP can then arrange an assessment with the suicide crisis assessment nurse.
Okay.
So we would encourage anybody, if they're worried about themselves or someone else, to definitely get support as soon as possible. We do have a number of wellbeing boards that are going up around the marts. We launched the first wellbeing board. I've brought you a copy of it in poster format, Greg, for the office here. We launched it there on Wednesday in Rifoamart. So it would show a list of the common stressors farmers might experience, signs of stress, and we have QR codes that take you directly to Chagas, which provides extra support
and
mental
health.
Trying
to make it as easy as possible.
And TNEU app, which will explore your quality of life and supports there. We also have the helpline numbers on that poster too. So I'll leave you a couple of copies
of
that.
Yeah, we'll get it up on our socials.
But we're hoping
to
get them up now, isn't it? Next week we'll be, we're putting them up around the March for the month of
July. We thank the MART managers locally, you know, for, you know, letting us
in. But they get it.
Yeah, they've been very, very.
They see the highs and the lows.
They're very supportive of this event. And and want to thank our, we had a working group to formulate this event, you know, going back from the spring forward there. And we had representatives from Chagas, MACRA, IFA and
Mental Health Ireland. The Donegal Mental Health Service, Scan Service. And yourselves and DLDC.
And so, our event has been funded by SICAP, Social Inclusion and Community Activation Programme. So that's where
And Connecting for Life.
So all we need now is bums on seats or feet on the ground. Get to the Clannery this Sunday. Bring your family. Bring your neighbours. Sunday the 12th of October, 1pm to 5pm. It's all at the Clannery. It's a lot of fun. And there's also some very useful information there. You can get your blood pressure checked, you know. I mean, that's so easily to deal with. You know, you could be walking around freaking 180 over 110. Why? You know, get a tablet off
and,
a GP.
And people would say working on that, the health sector and dealing with farmers, if we can get them into a habit of even doing their health checks annually at least, then when something is starting to go wrong, the helps, they look for help earlier, which is key, you know, and not letting things get to them too much.
Great stuff. Thanks, Ciara.
All right, thank
you. Lovely to have you in. Ciara Ray, she's Resource Officer for Suicide Prevention, Donegal Mental Health Services, HSC West Northwest, and also Paul McDade, a farmer, but also Project Officer with Donegal Local Development. Have a great day.
Thanks very much.
All right, back with more shortly. Right, a caller says in relation to fishing, the government need to use the Hague preference in relation to the Irish mackerel quota that would be used, or that was used last year and was written into the blueprint when we joined the EU in 1972. The industry leaders must stand by this and not back down. You heard Padraig McLaughlin reference that, I hope, since. Same with the global warming issue. Ireland has to pay for the countries that won't do anything about it and are a lot bigger than the dot we are in the world. Another, we signed away our rights to our waters when we joined Europe. Jack Lynch sold us out, they say. Years later, we're seeing the fruit of his work. Were there glory years for fishing in between now and then? I wonder. I just feel that, you know, at the end of the day, it's how the quotas are interpreted, fair play. You know, we could be getting plenty, but we're not. Following on from the prime time last night, says a listener, I feel that we, the ordinary people, are going to be going to St. Vincent de Paul this year. A fear for us. I can't see what benefit we'll get. I thought there'd be benefit for us with child benefit, but we don't meet the threshold. We struggle to make ends meet and pay our bills. Myself and my husband both work. We've got three children. I saw someone say that they would love a second child, but just can't afford it. Yet there are people living off the state with four and five children. How does this make sense? We'll struggle, and I know that we'll be reaching out to St. Vincent de Paul for help. I'd love to hear from someone in de Paul about how they're going to cope. I'm so angry and frustrated. And I think maybe the if it's not soon, certainly in the not too distant future, need to run through what supports are there, what supports are there from welfare too, if you are struggling to meet certain bills and what have you. 100 million for greyhound and horse racing. How many working class people own a racehorse? The increase in fuel prices, especially diesel, will increase food prices even more. Hotels, property developers, another budget for the Irish, for the rich, sorry, at the expense of the people who are unable to pay their bills. Another, the budget is a joke. Working people shafted all the time. You better have never worked in your life, says a listener. Another, nothing in the budget for the ordinary worker. Hi, Greg. It's always the same with budgets. Two type budgets after elections. One fairly even one, and then two giveaway budgets just to get re-elected. Yeah, or maybe two tight, one fairly even, and one giveaway budget. But people will still fall for it. Hi, Greg. In relation to the presidential election, spoil your vote is the only protest move to send a strong message to the political establishment and media. It's saying, I exist. Well, it's not really, because you will just be a number.
you most likely get the Fine Gael candidate elected. I don't know who's guiding people to think spoiling the votes is some big thing to do. It literally is fantastic for the state, for the government, sorry, for the Fine Gael back candidate, because it's unopposed. So you're sitting there going, writing someone's name that's not on the ballot paper, going home feeling all proud of yourself, right? But you actually could cast a vote to express a preference of the two remaining candidates. Hell, vote for Jim. Vote for Jim, and if he's elected, he has to step down, and then there's another election in 60 days. The least logical thing from my perspective anyway, but I don't care what you do, is to spoil your vote to write Maria Steen or someone else's name on it. It achieves nothing. It achieves absolutely nothing. And when you do it all, and it's mentioned in a byline of spoiled votes by the media that you dislike so much, you'll be going, well, why is the media not making a big deal of it? Because it's just a spoiled blooming vote, isn't it? And it's mixed in with other people that spoil their votes by putting two ones down, etc. But it's up to you. You do whatever you wish to do. Chris Ashmore is presenter of the Business Matters podcast from us here at Highland Radio. How are you, Chris?
I'm good, Greg.
How are you feeling? You want to spoil your vote? No, I don't answer that. I'm only joking. Come here. A big, big success for Donegal people.
Yes. Now, the Blast na Héireann Awards, we've spoken about them in the past. Donegal has done very well in this. It's essentially a bringing together of a lot of companies, from small self-employed people to big corporations. The Blast na Héireann Awards, it's the best of Irish food and drink awards, and they're held down in Dingle in County Kerry. A lot of listeners will be familiar with the little logo that you get, you put on your product if you've won an award. Donegal producers this year, nine out of 14 on the shortlist, coming back with a variety of silver, gold, bronze medals. So well done to them. Donegal Rapeseed Oil, Donegal Sea Salt, Filligan's Handmade Preserves, Green Pastures in Convoy, Kinnegar Brewing, Kombucha Nadali, Little Mama's Gelato, Natural Dairies, and J.L. Geary Trading Limited. So great to see that.
A lot of household names now too as well, yeah, which so, is quite impressive as well.
We featured over the years on Business Matters quite a few of these producers, and the county is punching above its weight, and there's a lot more in the pipeline too, so great to see it. Great
more success
see it.
This time last Friday at the Dublin's Royal Convention Centre.
Yes, we're into the awards season.
I know all about it.
And Donegal food producer, seafood processor Atlantfish was awarded the Bord Ís Gabhair, that's the state seafood company, or the marine state body. Now, the Seafood Exporter of the Year Award, they got that at the Royal Convention Centre in Dublin. Now, the company dates back to 1976, and they've been... Back then, it was all about brown crab, and over the years, they have continued to innovate, and their main markets, Greg, produce from off the Donegal coast, France, Sweden, the United States, and even Japan, where Irish brown crab is regarded as being superior and commands a premium price. So well done to all there. Yeah.
For sure, yeah, I'm sure. Great celebrations. We've already had very positive reaction to the Dublin Dairy Dublin route being returned.
Yes, now this is under the public service obligation, so... Basically, there's a subsidy provided by the state for certain transport routes that wouldn't be economically viable on their own. The Dublin Dairy Service also gets the PSO obligation. And just in the budget, it was interesting to note the whole area of transport. The local link service, as we know, has been a great success and is continuing to expand. But commercially, you wouldn't be able to run it as a private operator because it wouldn't work. So it's good to see that there's more support on that whole transport side of things, a recognition of the importance of having good infrastructure in terms of transport. So Dublin Dairy Air Route, it was there before in the past, didn't actually run for that long, but this has been widely welcomed in the Northwest, and they're hoping to start it in the spring. So keep an eye on that.
I hope it's affordable.
I think it will be, given that...
I just see some other PSO routes. I don't think they're affordable.
Yeah, well,
and I just hope this is not taxpayers' money a taxpayer's money to allow an airline to come in and clean up until such time as that money runs out and then sod off again. I think a PSO, I think there should be a benchmark or an agreement where a fare is seen as affordable. And if that can't be achieved regularly with some consistency, then I don't believe that's to be a PSO route. I believe that's taxpayers' money going to pay a company to fly empty planes up and down the country.
It'll be interesting to see how it compares with the service from Carrickfinn to Dublin. And just you would imagine it should be a similar enough price given the distance. We'll keep an eye on that, Greg.
I will, because I'm a miserable old git. Yeah. Right, petrol, diesel, I don't know. I'm all for local link, but try and get to and from work on it, right?
Yeah.
And it's just getting more and more expensive to live in rural Ireland.
Yeah, the 2.5 cent a litre in the budget, the carbon tax, that came in overnight. So it's widened the differential between north and south. If you are in the north, you can get a litre of unleaded for about 1.28 sterling, which equates to sort of 1.55, something around that. So, you know, there's a 25 cent a litre difference, and diesel, not quite a big a difference. But if you're filling a full tank, so again, if you are close to the border, there'll be more people contributing to the Irish state.
I have to be careful with what I say here, but sometimes you can move within Donegal and make an equivalent saving.
Indeed, you can. Shop around, there's
a big difference in petrol and diesel prices from one pump to the next. Yes. And we often complained about cartels or there was these allegations, but you can travel and make money. I just find it interesting that just other than a few outliers, that regions have the same type of price. Like, so you could get a tanker that pulls up and fills three stations in Donegal town and then travels up and does, you know, three in another town. The price difference is similar in one area and similar in another area, but not the two being similar to each other. What's going on there?
And
you know what I mean?
If you are filling... I don't know how many people actually fill the car fully, because you're talking maybe 60 or 70 euros.
A lot of these SUVs with the small petrol engines, like it's 100 quid.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
You know, because you've got a big car that, you know, really probably needs a 2.8 litre engine in it, you know, to really be a workhorse or whatever. It's got a 1.3 petrol engine.
But as you say, even shopping in a relatively small area, the comparison on a full tank, you could save yourself 10 or 12 euro. And then in the north, it could be up
and
to 20. You know,
potentially per week.
Yeah. So you multiply that over a year, it's not insignificant.
Okay. Right. We're going to take a break and then come back with the contents of this week's podcast. So stay with us. Chris ain't going anywhere. He's shackled to the desk. Literally hot off the press, a little bit of news. It better be good, is it? It's important, obviously.
Well, no, just interesting to note, Greg, that... visiting Irish lighthouses has become very popular.
The word interesting is doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
Now, in last year, the latest figures, 350,000 visits to lighthouses across the country, and Fannad, 65,700 visits last year.
That's amazing. What a jewel in the crown.
1,300 overnight guests, 22,500 guided tours. So, Great initiative. Well done there.
Good news.
To all. Yeah.
Right, Earnact. That's the focus of BM.
Yes. Now, Earnact, based in the CoLab in the ATU, Letterkenny. First of all, what does it actually stand for? It's the European Region's Network for the Application of Communications Technology. Bit of a mouthful. Established in 1991. It's essentially a network around Europe. There are 11 or 12 countries involved, and it was set up by Derry City and Strabane District Council along with Donegal County Council to bring people together to develop projects, a digital transformation in the whole area of communications. And they've a budget down there of about 45 million. They employ 9 people. There's a lot going on. And Dr. Katrina Strain is the general manager, and she has been explaining what it's all about.
Earnact, it's an acronym for European Regions Network for the Application of Communications Technology. And basically, we're an international digital transformation network of cities and regions. So we work together on digital transformation and innovation projects. And Simple Terms were a partnership that's led here from the northwest of Ireland that helps communities and regions around Europe to use digital technology and innovation to improve how we all live and how we work. So we're constantly bringing new ideas and knowledge and funding from across Europe back home to Donegal and Derry Strabane.
All right, that full audio is available now in the podcast. Business Matters, available for you right now to listen at your leisure, or at leisure, as they say in America, and broadcast after 6 o'clock on Sunday. Chris, and if people want to contact you...
Yes, email businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Gormai, a good Chris. Chat to you next Wednesday, indeed. It's Wednesday. All right, so I'm going to be joined now by Matthew Cramsey. He's going to take Chris's seat because we want to have a quick chat with Matthew about... his own little bit of innovation. Sit down, Matthew. We're playing this fast and loose. It's how we operate here in the 9 till noon show. I've got Chris to warm that seat up for you.
It's great.
Hey, come here. New song out Friday.
New song out Friday,
yeah. What is it?
It's a song called Home Again. And it's... Obviously, we have a lot of songs in Irish culture about being away and wanting to get home, but I'm 30 years of age, and everybody that I went to school with, you only see them around Christmas and stuff. They've all emigrated, and I just got that kind of feeling that there must be others like me, you know, that have built a life here in Ireland, and just as much as they think about leaving, they didn't. So I wanted to write a song for the people that were here and always thought about going, but just knew that they would always want to come home again, and that's where Home Again came from.
Stuff. And how long have you been working on this track? It's not out officially yet.
No,
is
it's
it?
out on Friday.
But we're going to get a chance to listen to it. Brilliant, okay.
Yeah. I wrote it fast. I wrote it about a year ago, nearly exactly a year ago. It was around this time last year. And I had the idea for it for ages, and I had written the verses. I'd written the verses separately, and then the chorus just came to me one day at the kitchen table, and I was like, right, and I put it all together. And that was me then. Once I had it, then I was like, I'm not going to touch that until I'm ready to work for it. And then obviously this year I've kind of been reinventing myself and going back out on my own and stuff, and I wanted to get another original out this year, so I have this one, and I'm actually working on a Christmas song as well. So,
because you explore, you know, you talk about your home, others away, you kind of explore whether or not are they right, are you right?
Yeah,
might the roles reverse, you know?
Such a strange
so you
thing.
Dig a wee bit into that, yeah.
It's so strange because I wrote it obviously with that kind of intention of being for the people that are here, but since I put clips of it on social media, the amount of people that are away that have messaged me, like, it's very interesting to see what life is like for the people that are here.
What's it like when people connect with your music like that?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. It's funny. We
because, you know, someone could say, oh, great song. And that's lovely to get that. But if someone hears it, not just listens to it, hears it, I would say as an artist, that's like, wow, okay, you get it.
It's funny. Like, the songs that I've written since, like, I was younger, like when I was 21 and stuff, I still get people that send me messages like, I love the song, or we have the song as part of a wedding playlist or whatever it is. So that's a really, really nice thing. Like, I played one of my own songs at one of my friends had it for their first dance.
Oh, cool.
And that was just a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah,
you know,
that's an honour, that is. That's almost exactly. Like being as good as the best man. Right, and did you make a video for this track?
I did. It's going to be out on Friday as well.
Brilliant,
on all,
that's good.
All platforms.
Excellent,
well.
Good stuff. So keep an eye out for that. And you are heading away to Spain shortly.
Heading away to Spain tomorrow, yeah, for the Carter and the Costa trip, so I'm looking forward to that as well. I've been working really, really hard the last couple of months. This year has been really strange. It hasn't died off. Normally, this time of year, you kind of get a lull. So I'm looking forward to getting out of the sun now for 5 or 6 days. It'll be nice.
And get paid.
Well, I'll take the sun and oil, see how I get on then.
Well, I hope he blooming plays you. I'm sure he will. You kick away anyway, but I've got a McGrory's on the 19th of December.
Yeah, so next year I'm launching a two-piece with a great friend of mine, James O'Sullivan from County Wexford. And we're launching the two-piece in McGrory's. I did a gig
where
in
McGrory's. Where is that? Sorry, pardon me.
In Kildaff.
Oh, McGrory's of Kildaff.
A local
course,
one.
Sorry.
For, so anybody down around the Inishowen area, the tickets, you have to go through the McGrory's website to get the tickets. There are 50 tickets available in McGrory's if you want to go and buy a higher ticket.
Just one of those exclusive gigs where
It's we don't have a massive cap, so I would recommend if you're thinking about going, you get your
all
ticket.
All right, that's McGrory's the 19th of December, and it's the official launch of the new two-piece, as of yet unnamed? Or
yeah, no, we're called Cramsey & Co.
Okay, so. Cramsey & Co. And listen, brilliant. Oh, this flies for you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's always
so,
very good.
No, listen, we're going to hear it now. We've got it on the computer system. It's Home Again. It's written by and performed by, of course, Donegal-based singer-songwriter Matthew Cramsey, who's going to be launching Cramsey & Co. on the 19th of December in McGrory's. And hey, if you're over in Spain, you'll know he's going to be there. You're going to have a fantastic time. I will leave enough space to play it.
Yeah, that'd
so
be great.
So I'm going to a big you adieu, and I look forward to chatting again in the future. Safe travels. All right, here he is playing us out, Matthew Crampsey and his new track, released on Friday, by the way, so you're getting a bit of an exclusive listen here. And check out the video on Friday as well. That's all in a couple of days. But here is the track now for you. We'll chat to you tomorrow morning at 9.
Pub on the corner of Camden, and all of my friends would meet there. And then slowly but surely it happened, one by one there were more empty chairs. Now they're gone. Oh, they're gone. It's an all too familiar story. It's a tale that's as old as time. If you're searching for hope or for glory, you must leave your old life behind. Now they're gone. I sometimes wish I was gone. What could I be in Boston? Sydney, Dubai, or Spain? I'd be dead in a week, killed with the heat. Sure, I'm Irish and I need the rain. I've dreamt of leaving here often, yet every time I've remained. For deep down I know, wherever I go, I wish I was home. Times call me, hours we'd spend on the phone. And amidst all the laughter and the stories, I can tell that he's missing home. 'Cause he's gone. Oh, he's gone. What good would I be in Boston, Sydney, Spain? I'd be dead.